Good morning, everyone. I would like to call this State Government Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order on Thursday, April 16th, 2026. There is a quorum present. I would like the public to know we have a member participating remotely in accordance with House Rules 10.05, and that member is Representative Katie Jones. I would ask that we now move to approval of the minutes for April 14th, 2026. Co-Chair Nash, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes?
I have, and I would move adoption of the rules from our rules, minutes from April 14th.
Thank you. Is there any discussion to the minutes of April 14th, 2026? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails, and the minutes for April 14th, 2026 are adopted. Next, we will move to the presentation of House File 4074. I will move that that bill be before the committee. Representative Lilly, it's good to see you here with us this morning. If you would like to tell us about 4074.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The House file before you today is a vehicle bill for the Pension Commission, and the pension work is done in that space, and so we're trying to get a bill through you to rules and onto the, and we can amend on what we've been working on in the Pension Commission.
Excuse me, Representative Lilly, I want to make sure that I move the bill properly.
Okay.
So my motion will be to move House File 4074 to Ways and
Means. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the motion before us. Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and you probably said that, and I might have messed up the path. So, again, the bill you actually have with you is for the Minnesota State Retirement System, and then we'll amend on other pieces of the work that's done in the Pension Commission. I have with me Ms. Lincheski and Ms. Wilson if you want to dive into the actual bill that you have today, but I really don't think it's necessary. But certainly happy. I know Chair Nash has often had questions, and I brought my STAR team, so we're able to answer them.
I appreciate that. Would either of the testifiers like to make any comments about the content of the bill? We do understand that there will be a delete all amendment, but I want to leave that to your discretion. Is there anything you'd like to say? All right. Thank you. So the bill is before us, and it's moving to Ways and Means, but this committee has done some work, and I want to be very transparent about the amendments that I've posted for today. The amendments that we have posted for today have either moved to the general register or are now sitting in rules. So these are pieces of legislation that we have already previously heard in this committee. My intent in hearing those amendments today is to move them to Ways and Means so that we can then move them out of committee and into a space where they can then move or be attached to a different bill. So that's my intent. I do not intend to keep them on this pensions bill. So I just want to be really clear to the public about what's happening here today. There is an A7, which is related to the pensions, so I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to hear that and to have comment if it's something that you want to comment on as the pensions group. And with that, I will move the A7, which is the SBI's technical fix, and it would also change the way that billing is done within the pension system. So this is what I would like to say. Amendment 7 to House File 4074 contains provisions intended to clarify and modernize the Minnesota State Board of Investments billing procedures, particularly with respect to its interaction with the general fund. As a result, over the last 5 years, investment returns have contributed an additional $3.64 billion for the ITC, of which the general fund is part, for an average of $727 million per fiscal year. Currently, the SBI receives a fixed appropriation of $139,000 annually for expenses associated with the state's general fund. What we are trying to do is to remove the fixed appropriation and allow the SBI to bill the appropriate funds for the work that it would do. And SBI is here to answer it if I'm saying the wrong thing. So the SBI has worked with its partners at MMB, which is supportive of the modernization expense allocation approach, and to allocate the expenses for that modernization to the general fund in a manner similar to the approach currently applicable to other pools of capital under SBI's management. The result of this bill is that the billing system will be more efficient, transparent, and be using the industry standard approach to managing state assets. The bill also contains several technical changes to procedures the SBI uses to bill statewide pension systems, MSRS, PARA, and TRA, to make the process more efficient. And these changes have been reviewed and agreed to by the executive director of each pension plan. So that's kind of really high level. But if you have questions, SBI is here to answer those. So I will move adoption of the A7 amendment. And this, for the members, this is a bill that we heard, I'll come to you. This is a bill that we heard last year, but because Co-Chair Nash and I didn't truly understand exactly what was happening at that time, we left it out of the budget bill last year. And that was probably a mistake on our part. So that's why we are bringing it forward this year. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think that it's a good conversation to have today. Last year, as we were building the omnibus bill for this committee, it was something that we wanted to get done. It was not something that we had probably sufficient information, but I know that SBI is here today and would love for them to very briefly talk through why we're doing this, and then what some of the updated costs are, because I believe that the cost went down since we were talking about this last. And I think it's important to also understand, just from a good governance perspective, why this bill is something that we want to get done. So if Ms. Schertz could come forward, and sorry, Madam Chair, but I just think that this is a good conversation so that everybody in the committee, and some are brand new members to the committee from last year, can understand the why of what we're trying to do here.
When you are ready, if you'll state your name, position, and begin your conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jill Schertz. I'm the Executive Director and the Chief Investment Officer of the Minnesota State Board of Investment. I'm joined today by our General Counsel, John Millay. Thank you, Chair Nash, for that. I think Chair Clevehorn gave an excellent summary, and we're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Right. Representative Quam, you had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 4, line number 9, the verbiage is a little, with the deleted stuff, it's a little confusing. And or external firms must be appointed among, for which the state board provides, I think maybe a little bit of technical correction would
right.
be good.
I'm going to be really clear with the committee. If I believe that the committee is stalling to prevent other amendments, I'm not accusing you. What I'm saying is we have other work to do. If this amendment is too confusing, too complicated, not ready to roll for today, we'll pull the amendment and we'll do it next year during a budget year. I just want to be clear to the entire committee.
Madam Chair, the whole point was...
No, I'm not accusing you.
Needs a little correction of the verbiage.
Please, if you could answer the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Quam, thank you for your question. This is fairly straightforward. All we're trying to do is make sure that we accurately lay out all the potential costs. We both internally manage assets, the SBI directly, but we also hire third-party managers. So we want to be clear, and it is already our standard practice to pass those costs through.
Madam Chair, I didn't ask a question. I was stating that there needed to be correction.
Thank you very much. If you'll state your name and then please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Quam. So I believe you're looking at lines 4.9 through to 4.12. That that language, if you look at the red line, says, including any fees or expenses charged by advisors, consultants, or external firms, comma, must. And then there is language on 411 that says, be apportioned among all funds for which the State Board provides investment services.
Representative Quam, does that answer your question?
No, Madam Chair, because I didn't ask a question.
You're
I stated
asking
a grammatical confusion in the way you changed the language, so therefore it's just a suggestion for technical, and I'm surprised you're wasting the time.
Thank you, Representative Quam. Do you have any questions?
Just one question, Madam Chair. The executive director gave us texted me, and I'm sure you as well, that the costs have gone down since the last iteration of the bill. Perhaps you could give us that number, because it went down significantly.
The number is $643,000 per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Are there any questions, any further questions to the amendment? Okay. Seeing none, the A7 is before us for adoption. All those in favor of adoption of the A7, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the A7 is adopted. I'd like to thank the SBI for being here this morning to help us through this. Next, we will move to adopt the A3 amendment. The A3 amendment is the cash transaction rounding bill that we heard, commonly called the penny bill. And the penny bill is to allow our individuals with cash, to allow the state to round up or to round down for cash transactions. And also there is to allow MMB to, that they may, instead of must, offer a high deductible plan in the insurance pools. Is there any discussion to this amendment? Chair Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you and I had been talking about these things, and as you had prefaced in the beginning of the committee, these are actually now, as bills, both in possession of the Rules Committee. And I don't know if you had requested a rules waiver, but based on these conversations, I think it's better to go the direction of getting a rules waiver. And for the rest of the amendments, that's my recommendation, my foreseen pathway forward. So while I think that these have value, I think that the pathway that had been previously established in getting a rules waiver is the best for the rest of these.
I do appreciate that, but I am offering the A3 amendment, and I'm going to request a roll call. So if you will please, is there any further discussion to the A3? Seeing none, if you will please take the roll for the A3 amendment.
Chair Cleavorn.
Chair Cleavorn, aye.
Chair Cleavorn, aye. Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Nash, no. Representative Bonner? Representative Bonner, aye. Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Davis, no. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, no.
Representative Anderson, no. Representative Clardy?
Aye.
Representative Clardy, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Jones?
Aye.
Representative Jones, aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Kosnick? Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Kraft, aye. Representative Nicolai?
Aye.
Representative Nicolai, aye. Representative Quam?
No.
Representative Quam, no. Representative Sexton?
No.
Representative Sexton, no.
Oh, Kosnick is just walking in the door.
Call his name, please.
Representative Kosnick, no. There are 7 ayes, 7 nays.
Oh, so fast, Representative Kosnick. Yeah, all right. I would have done the A6 first, but now we'll move on. I will move the A6 be before the committee.
Come on,
The A6 is the bill that is in rules. It is to prohibit the use of legislators allowing friends, families, or outside colleagues to use emails from the House or to allow their district phone number to be used by outside individuals. It has been changed, Representative Quam, to meet your need about officing, to clarify that we cannot allow our offices to become the offices of other individuals, either permanently or temporarily. And it allows the House to set the penalties for these, the body to set these penalties. I am requesting a roll call on this. It's an important piece of transparency, holding ourselves accountable. And so with that, is there any discussion to the A6 amendment? Chair Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And once again, this is left committee. It's in the possession of the rules. It is important that we do our work on time. And I think that once again, I don't know if you've asked for a rules waiver or not, but I think that that would have been the better pathway forward. So I'm encouraging a no vote.
This one is in rules, so there is no rules waiver. The bill is viable there. So, but I do ask this committee to say that this transparency, this holding ourselves as accountable, and I would like to move this on to Ways and Means on this bill. So with that, we will take the roll.
Chair Cleavorn?
Aye.
Chair Cleavorn, aye. Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Nash, no. Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Bonner, aye. Representative Davis? Representative Davis, no. Representative Anderson? Representative Anderson, no. Representative Clardy?
Aye.
Representative Clardy, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Jones?
Jones, aye.
Representative Jones, aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Kosnick?
No.
Representative Kosnick, no. Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Kraft, aye. Representative Nicolai?
Aye.
Representative Nicolai, aye. Representative Quam?
No.
Representative Quam, no. Representative Sexton?
No.
Representative Sexton, no. There are 7 ayes and 7 nays.
With 7 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail, and it is not adopted, which is very disappointing to me. Next, we will move the A4, which is the Legislative Leave Conformity Bill. And again, this bill has been passed to the General Register, but it is sitting in rules. The Legislative Leave Bill is merely a conformity bill to allow legislators who serve, who work in the executive branch to have leave. This one is actually has pension implications. So I would ask that this please be attached to the pensions bill. And with that, is there any discussion to this bill? Chair Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is on the GR. It has viability there. And as a result, I don't see the need to put it onto this bill. So I would encourage a no vote.
Okay. I'm sorry, Chair Nash. I didn't see that. Representative Joy, would you like to say something?
By all means.
Please go ahead.
I guess for transparency reason, I just see that we're moving these amendments as amendments through these bills that have already went through and they're held up in other committees. And this is just another way to try to get them attached to a vehicle bill so we can move them another way because we're trying to skip committees is how I feel. So thank you.
Thank you. And I do agree with you. The intent is to be able to put one consolidated bill together to move out of Ways and Means so it's more transparent, more efficiency. I stated at the very beginning my intent was to try to be efficient and get these into one piece. So that I do thank you for that comment, and I agree wholeheartedly. With that, is there any more discussion to the A4? If you will please, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Bonner.
I just wanted to say, I think it's very common practice here in the legislature to review multiple paths to get legislation across the line. And we've been reviewing this morning a number of pretty common sense pieces of legislation, things that allow our business entities to handle financial transactions because of a federal law that took away the penny, to give them more clarity. That's just good business, right? That's good business practice. That's good government. I don't know why we would not want to ensure that something like that were to pass. You know, we talked about ensuring accountability in this last bill. And, you know, we've talked a lot about accountability at this legislature, and I'm not casting aspersions on anyone. I just want to be clear about that. But when we're talking about good government, making sure that we hold ourselves accountable, that's what that bill does. And it's frustrating to me to say that we would not want to view every possible avenue to work together as legislators, to take off our red jerseys and take off our blue jerseys, and to actually do the people's work in a smart and targeted way to get things done. Because I got to tell you, the folks in my district, that's what they expect of me. And not to argue about bills about pennies, and not to argue about good government bills that hold ourselves accountable, not just to put talking points in the newspaper. I think those all really make sense. And I just, you know, and I know that the other side is going to do what they're going to do today. And I know that what I'm saying right now is probably not going to change their minds. But I just want to say on the record that as legislators, our job is to do the people's work.
Yep.
And I feel that we are today proving why the public doesn't trust us. Because we have an opportunity to do this together and to just get stuff done as a matter of course, to do our jobs. And I just, it frustrates me, especially after the conversations we had just yesterday about putting aside our differences and doing the people's work. So with that, Madam Chair, I have no other comment, but I appreciate your intent.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the people watching. This doesn't mean that these are dead if they're not put on. There's an amendment process on the House floor, so if this bill makes it there, we can have a more thorough and energetic discussion there.
And we have Representative Joy. Did you want to say something more? Oh, that was from earlier. Okay, perfect. Again, this is about trying to make a bill which is easier and faster and more transparent to get across the finish line. And the A4 is germane to the underlying topic. So I'm asking for your yes vote. And with that, we'll take a roll.
Chair Cleburne?
Aye.
Chair Cleburne? Aye. Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Nash? No. Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Bonner, aye. Representative Davis. Representative Davis, no. Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, no. Representative Clardy.
Aye.
Representative Clardy, aye. Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Jones.
Jones, aye.
Representative Jones, aye. Representative Joy.
No.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Kosnick. Representative Kosnick, no. Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Kraft, aye. Representative Nicolai?
Aye.
Representative Nicolai, aye. Representative Quam?
No.
Representative Quam, no. Representative Sexton?
No.
Representative Sexton, no. There are 7 ayes, 7 nays.
And with 7 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. Next, we'll move on to the A5. The A5 is the grant summary page, and this bill has been moved to the general register. And again, we're just trying to be expedient with our work. And is there any discussion to the A5? Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. More of a procedural question. When we do these bills, the underlying bill that we're actually on is 4074 with the author, Representative Lilly. Mm-hmm. Why are we not asking for the author's comment on these amendments, whether they may or may not think it improves or belongs in their bill?
since you were not here when I described at the very beginning of the committee why we were doing it, to just move these things into Ways and Means. The bill that Representative Lilly has will have a delete all. I do not intend for these amendments to stay on this bill. I was merely trying to move these topics to Ways and Means to consolidate them to another bill. That's all.
Well, I appreciate that explanation, Madam Chair. And previously, there was comment was made that this is to make things more transparent when we're adding things and then expecting to delete all later.
Transparency is to the public, and that's why I'm being very, very clear about what I'm doing and how I'm trying to move these things. But clearly, your side of the aisle does not want to have one comprehensive bill that we could move quickly to the floor and to get this good governance work done. So we'll do them one by one. I have every intention of pushing them to the general register. Okay. So with that, is there any further discussion to the A5? Seeing none, please take the roll. Roll call was requested by me.
Mm-hmm. Chair Cleavorn.
Chair Cleavorn, aye.
Chair Cleavorn, aye. Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Nash, no. Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Bonner, aye. Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Davis, no. Representative Anderson? Representative Anderson, no. Representative Clardy?
Clardy, aye.
Representative Clardy, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Jones?
Jones, aye.
Representative Jones, aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Kosnick? Representative Kosnick, no. Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Kraft, aye. Representative Nicolai?
Aye.
Representative Nicolai, aye. Representative Quam?
No.
Representative Quam, no. And Representative Sexton?
No.
Representative Sexton, no. 7 ayes and 7 nays.
And with 7 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. So now we have House File 4074. As amended with the A7 amendment, which is the SBI amendment, to move to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion to this bill as amended? Representative Joy.
Thank you, Representative Lilly, for bringing this bill. And, you know, about these amendments, I'm proud of our side of the aisle for voting yes to get these out the first time. And now this time we voted no because they're amendments, because we're playing politics with other committees that's holding them up. So I do appreciate the first work we did of getting these responsible bills through, and we did do our work. It's just that I guess we're not doing it fast enough to get legislation through before we do any vetting. And as we heard, we're being transparent today, yet we're going to do a DE to a bill that's sitting in front of us, and that's not very transparent to me. But I just want to thank my side of the aisle for voting yes to get these through the first time. Unfortunate the other committees couldn't get their work done. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Co-Chair Nash.
Did you want Representative Lilly to wrap?
No, okay. It's the right. Amendment.
Yeah, very good.
That you're that we're moving is.
Yeah. So
what we decided to do.
Yeah. Very well, Madam Chair. I think that this is a very good amendment that is going to be excellent for good governance, and in working with the SBI for the last number of months, however many months it's been since we were working on this. This is a very good approach to provide a solid amount of oversight, and is being done properly, as I know both from what you've said, and I'm sure Chair Lilly feels the same way, that making sure that we're doing this in a very transparent manner is how we want to do things. So I appreciate it and encourage a yes vote on as amended.
And Representative Lilly, I didn't give you an opportunity to speak to the bill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for hearing basically the pension bill today. And it's kind of, for some of the newer members, it's just kind of a normal process. So it's the Minnesota State Retirement Bill is basically the bill that I'm moving through. But then we'll add on the work of the Chair O'Driscoll and the Senate, and we are working on a bill, and it'll be very different than you're seeing today amended in Ways and Means. Since I have the floor, I just want to take a few seconds. You did have an opportunity to have Ms. Schertz up here, and her and her team we're so blessed as a state. I guess I'm going to take this opportunity just to say what amazing talent. And these jobs are super important. You know, the work that they're doing and the return is incredible. I panic every time the stock market moves, and they're very calm, and it's amazing the returns that they're able to get for the people that do the hard work for us in the state of Minnesota. There's also other people in the crowd that will never get recognized probably in you know, on the floor or in this body, but the MSRS people are out here, the para people and TRA people, and just really a lot of talent. And again, so thank you for their work for all of us. And then I just wanted to throw out to the people that were up here to help me. Often don't get recognized, and Ms. Lucheski is incredible and just does amazing work, and Ms. Wilson and their team. So I'm sorry I'm talking. I haven't been on this committee for a long time. I was on StateGov for a long time when I first came, for probably 10 years or whatever, and I used to love it. I'm not sure I love it anymore after what I heard this morning, but I'm not sure I'll last next year to be on this. No. But anyways, and I'm a little mad, I want to say it also, that you took Helen Roberts from me. She used to work in legacy space, and so you're lucky to have her. Amazing talent. But that was, I'm pretty mad at you for your theft. Thank you for hearing the bill, and if you have questions, please reach out to me or Representative O'Driscoll, and we're happy to, you know, to offer answers or go to the real talent that I mentioned. But thank you again for your time this morning.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for your graciousness, for sitting here, giving us your time this morning as we tried to build a better bill for getting our items into Ways and Means. And for the comment that this is not the right process, this is a process and a transparent process for how we can do things if that's what the committee chooses to do. While we may sound more angry, I would encourage you to apply to come back to StateGov. We really do get along quite well, and we really do tend to focus well and get the work of the people done. Unfortunately, we had a different path this morning, and that didn't happen. But I would like to go ahead and move your bill with a vote to, as amended, to Ways and Means. So I'll renew the motion that House File 4074, as amended, be re-referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails, and you are on your way to Ways and Means. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Co-Chair Nash, and members. Thank you.
Next on our agenda will be an informational hearing on the governor's OIG proposal. So I would ask that Eric Anderson from MMB. Okay. And we have Mr. Hirsch from Minute with us also. When you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony. That would be wonderful.
Thank you, Chair Cleavorn, and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Eric Anderson, Government Relations Director at Minnesota Management and Budget. And please bear with us while we get our slides up here. I would just great, there we go. We're here this morning to provide an overview of the bill language and the governor's bill to establish the State Office of the Inspector General, and appreciate the committee's time this morning. So would first acknowledge that this bill comes in the context of significant work by the legislature, and especially this committee, this session and last, and consistent with the other bills on this topic, that the committee has heard the governor proposes establishing the State Office of Inspector General to investigate and prevent fraud and misuse of public funds across state programs. Responsibilities of the office would include conducting and reviewing and overseeing investigations, consult on the selection and establish standards for the work of the agency inspectors general and lead enhanced data sharing between agencies on potentially fraudulent actors. Included in this recommendation are office staff of just under 50 FTE that includes investigation and data research teams and a case management system. It also includes staff and resources for existing agencies necessary to effectively work alongside the office. So next we'll focus on three key themes in the bill: effective coordination between the state IG and agencies, improved independence of agency IGs, and technology investments. A first focus of the bill is on effective coordination between the state inspector general and state agencies, especially those that maintain their own agency inspector general. So top measures intended for this effective work between the state IG and agency IGs are listed on the slide. Briefly here, the state IG would have full access to an agency IG's investigative file. The state IG would have the authority to direct and review an agency's investigation. The state IG would set policy and procedure that agency IGs must follow, and agency IGs would be required to consult with and report on their activities to the state IG. The bill also establishes annual reporting to the public and legislature on the implementation status of state IG recommendations to agency heads. In the context of these measures related to the work between the state IG and agency IGs, the bill also keeps the MDE OIG at its agency along with those at DHS and DCYF. This recognizes the value of these agency-specific expertise in these offices. The bill also directs the state IG to help inform other agencies of cross-program provider involvement. A second major focus of the bill is to use the establishment of this state IG as an opportunity to bolster the independence of agency IGs. Under the bill, an agency head must consult with the state IG on their selection of the agency IG, and similarly, an agency head must also consult with the state IG on removing their agency IG. The bill also establishes a duty of an agency IG to report to the state IG when they identify certain issues, such as malfeasance in the administration of a public program. And with that, Chair Cleaver, with your permission, I would hand this slide over to Deputy Commissioner Hirsch.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brandon Hirsch, and I serve as Deputy Commissioner for Minnesota IT Services. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today to the technology investments included in the governor's budget recommendations for the Office of Inspector General. The governor's recommendations for the OIG include a provision to create a $15 million one-time fund that agencies could use to improve security, identity verification tools, and to improve data sharing capabilities on agency-based systems. We envision these funding resources to operate something like similar to the Technology Modernization Fund, which this committee helped to enable in 2023. The TMF's proven to be an indispensable tool for addressing cybersecurity risk and improving customer experience. We funded nearly 80 projects across the executive branch over the last several years, and have seen a lot of value come from that mechanism. We know that fraud prevention, cross-agency collaboration, data sharing, data analysis are critical to advancing the state's program integrity work. As noted on this slide, the legislature also recognized the importance of sharing data with the authorizing language in Chapter 13. The authority and the authorization is really important. But we also need to fully realize that authority, we really need to make the improvements on state systems to effectuate that change. And we know that will require new tools and new capabilities and staffing to build that. Further, because fraud prevention is multi-layered, there's not just one solution, there's no one-size-fit-all. We know from the research and partnerships that we have with both public and private sector entities that it's really important to know who your customers are and to verify their identity. Today's fraudsters have sophisticated methods of taking advantage of programs that don't have the latest capabilities in place. The funding proposed in the governor's budget recommendations also permit the use of that funding to enhance identity verification capabilities, such as Login Amend, which is already being deployed across about a dozen programs so far, most notably paid leave, which we've spoken about both here and I think with the Legislative Commission on Cybersecurity as well. The enhanced capabilities, especially as have been leveraged with paid leave, are putting the state at the forefront of identity services. And this funding would help agencies to accelerate the adoption and integration of that capability. And that must be done on a case-by-case, system-by-system basis. Finally, I'll also note that the governor's recommendations, you'll see more detail in the next slide, also include enhanced operational funding for the Office of the Inspector General in order to have the resources and capacity to maximize how we use these tools and capabilities, both within what would be the Office of the Inspector General, as well as some increased capacity for agencies that are key to combating fraud. With that, Madam Chair, I'd turn things back over to Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, if I proceed. Thank you. Finally, this slide shows the appropriations listed in this bill to implement the new agency as well as address costs at related agencies. As Deputy Commissioner Hirsch mentioned, you can see in the FY 2027 column the $15 million proposed for data sharing IT infrastructure. This brings the state IG's total to just under $18 million in FY 2027, with a similar amount in the 2028-2029 biennium. These amounts provide for 49 FTE, including IT staff at the new agency. I would also highlight at the bottom of the table the appropriation to the Department of Administration for the work to help set up the office. These amounts notably don't continue beyond 2028. And with that, thank you for the opportunity to present to the committee, and we'd be glad to take your questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe a couple things. First off, on the login stuff you were talking about, how much are you looking at? It strikes me that one of the big challenges in some of the fraud issues that have come up is one of trust, of knowing is someone who they say they are and has something happened that has been claimed to have happened. To what extent are you looking at things like blockchain technology, which, you know, is used for many things, but it is, you know, fundamentally about improving trust in a very public online way?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Kraft. We're open to any number of solutions to improve the trust we have with customers. The login amend capability doesn't necessarily use blockchain as a core component, but at its core, it is exactly it achieves the outcomes that you mentioned of ensuring that individuals are who they say they are, both by verifying their own credentials, but also in some levels, there's different levels of identity verification based on the sensitivity of the programs that the tools are using. Some may also require a liveness check to match that the individual applying for programs is in fact the individual they say they are.
Thank you, Representative Kraft.
Yeah, and then am I right in reading this is 76 new FTEs on top of any folks that already are in place in the various agencies that do Inspector General related work? And then one other comment I would make is apology to Mr. Anderson for how many times I have sent him an email because there's an Eric Anderson in house DFL research. So just want to go on the record.
Okay, so I'm going to caution you about data sharing when you send to the wrong person. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Chair Cleavorn and Representative Kraft. I can assure you that you're not the only person who's made that mix up. To clarify, these are new FTE that are proposed. No one is moving from a current agency to the new office under this proposal.
Thank you very much. Representative Bugart-Nicolai.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just have a question about
page 12, section 10, the data practices section, and this is probably more curiosity than anything else, but is there a reason why it's separately codified in this new chapter 15E rather than making the changes to chapter 13, which is where most of the agency-specific languages around that, the MGDPA? And you're referencing line 12 point, where are we? Yeah, 12.10.
12.12 at sequitur.
Oh, 12. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, or would you like to phone a friend?
Thank you, Chair Cleghorn and Representative. I think this generally matches the structure of the other bills on this topic that are moving in the legislature, so we had kept that same general structure.
I believe that's correct. I think it's the same language that's in Senate File 856. Is that correct, Mr. Skelton? I think so. We can double check. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It kind of seems to me that to offer a program this large, 70-some FTEs, to work on an issue that's been around here for many, many years, fraud escaping our state coffers, it's kind of like locking the barn door after the cows are out already. And it seems there's just a propensity here when we have a problem, we have to add more staff. The Attorney General is asking for more lawyers on the Medicaid prevention thing. I think we've added, 500 staff to administer paid family leave. And here's this request for 70-some new staff members. State government is big, and it's amazing that we have to continually add more and more staff, which may compound the problem of what we're trying to solve in being more efficient and trying to make the best use of taxpayer money in this state. Thank you.
So, Representative Anderson, I agree with you in a large part. The Senate File 856 that this committee passed on to Ways and Means is coming in with very similar numbers. So, Mr. Anderson, if you'd like to answer.
Thank you, Chair Cleghorn and Representative Anderson. I would just add that our focus on the appropriations in this bill is to get the office off to an effective start and make sure that it's properly resourced to complete the duties that it's being given.
Was there a follow-up? I would need to go back to Meg Lugar, Representative Lugar Nicolai first, and then I'll come to you, Representative Bonner.
Thank you for indulging me, Madam Chair. Okay, one more question, and that is with respect to the investigative and enforcement powers of this body. There's been significant conversation in this committee and elsewhere about the work of the BCA in actually prosecuting crime. What do you see as the interaction between those two bodies if this is ultimately adopted?
Mr. Anderson, do you want to take this, or should we invite Mr. Evans?
With your permission, invite Superintendent Evans up.
Thank you. Welcome, Superintendent Evans. When you're ready, if you'll state your name and then answer.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and thank you for having me. My name is Drew Evans. I'm the Superintendent of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. The BCA operates a financial crimes and fraud section out of the BCA that does state program fraud, traditional financial crimes, wage theft, and insurance fraud. As we contemplate as reviewing the language from this bill, this would be that section would see referrals over for any state program fraud that the Inspector General would uncover through their work as they do looking at waste and abuse. And if they believe something is criminal, they would refer it over. I'd remind you, because it's not in this bill, that last year you passed some specific referrals that are required from state agencies. If a state agency uncovers any potential criminal fraud, that must be referred to the BCA. And then we have both discretionary and mandatory situations where the BCA has to investigate, or if it's under a certain threshold, may examine it and refer it to a different entity. But for example, today we work if the Office of the Legislative Auditor uncovers potential criminal fraud in their work, they refer it to us. We meet with them on a weekly basis. We would envision a similar relationship here and ensure that the Inspector General is aware of any of the criminal investigations we'd be conducting as well, going back the other direction, and be able to share information with them as we complete our work so they're aware of that and doing the work that they might do, whether it's administrative or civil penalties in that process.
Representative, did you have a follow-up?
Just to double-check, so, and my friends from MMB also see this as essentially complementary work then.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Chair Cleavorn and Representative, that's correct.
All right, thank you very much. Representative Bonner.
First, I want to say a deep thank you to my colleague, Representative Kraft, for bringing up things like blockchain and discussing the beauty of login MN and that one front door for folks interacting with the state. I'm just so proud right now. But to the point that was made about staffing, and I realize, Representative Anderson, I agree with you that sometimes, especially when we talk about IT resources, it can seem a little bit eye-popping in the beginning, right? And, you know, as a longtime IT project manager, I get it, right? Like, there is often in those beginning stages when we are going through the phases and we're implementing something and we're getting all the technology and the pieces in place, it takes a lot of staff. But just to be clear, and I think my colleagues could probably reiterate this too, that doesn't mean that all those staff have to stay on that project. Some of those staff may have roles in the beginning and may, you know, once the project is established or the technology is established, they can move on to other projects. When we go into more of what we would like to call a maintenance phase, if you will, right? So once it's up and running. So I do actually really appreciate that question, actually, Representative Anderson. I think it's a really good one. And so I just want to thank you for making that distinction. I don't know if our friends at Minute want to have any further comment on that, but I do just want to say thank you, because I think it's something that is something when we look at the initial numbers, it feels like a lot. And I get it. It's a really good question. So I just want to thank you for that.
Any further discussion? Okay. I'm sorry. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as we hear discussion today about adding FTEs and FTEs to the OIG and FTEs to, it seems like, the Attorney General, it's one of the things we really should be looking at, too, is the voting. We should apply more to voting and make sure there's integrity in voting, make sure the software is up to date, and making sure our elections are fair. You know, so I right now, I could not support adding this new FTE to the OIG or to the Attorney General's, whatever it is, but I really think we should start thinking about voting and integrity in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I just heard Representative Joyce say you don't support adding any people to the OIG. Look, I was the one that voted against the bill going out of committee, the OIG bill. And one of the reasons was, Representative Anderson, I ask you to join with me when this comes to the floor, was that we were creating, adding all this resource, and I felt there's other better ways of spending that money. And one thing that we went out of this committee was to create a duplicate law enforcement agency and not use the BCA on this, which I think makes no sense from a fiscal or from a capabilities perspective. So, Representative Anderson, Representative Joy, I agree with your sentiments, and I ask you to join me on the floor when this comes before us to make sure we're not putting duplicative work in place and adding unnecessary expense to the folks of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions for you, Deputy Commissioner. I should have called you Deputy Commissioner all along. Congratulations on that position that you just had. And then also for you, Superintendent Evans. So for you, Deputy Commissioner Hirsch, I was on a committee, on a call this week where we were going over Senate File 856. And since this bill has many of the same provisions, I want to ask for clarification. In that call, the individuals who are interested in passing 856 were saying that this $15 million is not important. We don't need it. So if you could help me understand, they said it was already included in other modernization, and I said, I don't think so. So I just want to make sure that this money that the governor has put in here is for this important ID identification. And if you could please clarify that for me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I think, you know, I'd share a perspective, I guess, from our agency that sees the status of technology systems across the executive branch. There's certainly no doubt that the legislature in this committee specifically has provided a number of resources to move technology systems forward and modernize them. I'd offer for consideration that modernization is a journey. It's not a destination. The moment we stop investing and fine-tuning our IT systems is the moment that the bad actors, the sophisticated criminal networks that are attacking public programs across the country, we let them get ahead of us. They will continue to implement new tools. They will continue to implement generative AI capabilities. And continued investment is necessary. So I'd acknowledge that there certainly has been significant investment, both in this committee and in human services, but particularly when it comes to data sharing capabilities. Many of our current systems do not have sophisticated or mature data sharing capacity, partly because that authority hasn't been there before last year. So we do need funding to flow in order to maximize the effectiveness of those tools. And I think, as Mr. O'Malley's report acknowledges, utilizing data to combat bad actors has to be at the core of any strategy as we move forward. So.
Thank you very much. And for you, Superintendent Evans, again, this is a question that I have regarding the comparison of the governor's proposal and Senate File 856, which is currently in Ways and Means. So in the discussion I had the other night with Representative Anderson, Senator Drazkowski, Representative Norris was on the call, as was Senator Gustafson, and then I was also on the call as a co-author in the House. The discussion about financial efficiencies between keeping the law enforcement provision in the BCA or this OIG who may establish a law enforcement agency, which we don't have a definition of what that might actually look like. The cost for that potential was, I think, somewhere between $5 million and $8.5 million to hire out the services that OIG would need if we don't use BCA. Could you please tell me, would we receive the benefits of economies of scale if we refer to the BCA, or do you believe it's financially expedient, I don't know what other word to use, to have this independent contracting with outside law enforcement?
Madam Chair and members, when it comes to running a law enforcement agency, they're incredibly expensive. And so there are economies of scale that come along with that. We run a fleet program because of our vehicles and running a statewide agency. There's 200 plus vehicles that we manage. Very specialized space, some of which you've funded in the last year, building a new facility down in Mankato. We're currently working through the process with this as Financial Crimes and Fraud Section, as we've built out this team to have a more statewide footprint. For example, we're looking at field offices right now that we traditionally have not had financial crimes investigators at, where we already have a footprint to ensure that we have coverage statewide. There's a lot of requirements that go along with this. For example, that Financial Crimes and Fraud Section, when we combine the two different state agencies doing fraud work, they had to manage all of their training, all of their post requirements, everything that goes with that. We do that centrally at the BCA with 175 plus investigators. There's 36 in the Financial Crimes and Fraud Section alone doing this work. There's a number of different things that we've been working on. We're not talking about right here. We just had a surveillance visit or an on-site visit as we've been pursuing CALEA accreditation, which is adhering to best practices, to demonstrate to all of you that we're following those best practices along with all Minnesotans. All of these take time and effort. A small agency would not be able to do that. We also, as we've contemplated this for members as you're working through this, if you choose to, you know, refer cases, we understand and want the transparency and oversight that you need to have assurances that section is doing the work. And so we've contemplated other ways that we might be able to do that through ensuring that that independent inspector general always has a lens into the casework. Traditionally, outside entities would not be able to see what we're doing as we're doing that. We're comfortable with that process, much like we share information with the OLA that has broad powers. And so you definitely, there's a time where an agency becomes large, too, to the point where you don't have economies of scale. But we're the size of an agency that you definitely do have that. And we certainly would be open to MOUs or other, you know, interagency agreements to ensure that that accountability is in place as well in that process, depending on which path you all choose to follow.
We just have one more minute. Chair Nash, do you want to have any closing comments? Okay. I just want to thank you so much. I do have still some concerns about the subpoena power provisions, the lack of any type of legislative or oversight of this office. That was a concern I have with 856. I continue to have it with this provision. I consider this to be an ongoing conversation as things move in the House. I would like to take this opportunity, as, since this is my last moment as a chair, having a committee meeting right now, I'd like to thank our Amanda Rudolph, our DFL CA. I would like to thank Joe, our Scouten, our researcher, for the excellent work that he's done this year. Again, I would like to reiterate my thanks for our pages, Lydia and Amber, for doing the work that you do to keep us running smoothly. I would also like to thank Mr. Sullivan and Ms. Roberts for your outstanding work to our committee and to the other committees that you serve. Without your knowledge, it would be impossible for us to do our work. So thank you. And also to my CLA, who keeps my life running on track. Thank you, Anam, so much for your great work, and also for you, Ms. Winter, for helping my co-chair stay on task, and you, Jacob, and Mr. Brell, who is here somewhere. Thank you so much. And with that, members, I believe our work for the day is concluded, and we are adjourned.